Well, as many of you know, I enjoy fishing. And I usually begin my fishing season back in March, usually early March, once I can get out. But with all the craziness of this year so far and how busy everything has been, I haven't had the chance to get out yet. And it's been kind of weird. That is, until this past Tuesday, I was finally able to get out. In fact, I took the morning off. I headed down to a local lake with my kayak for a few hours on the water. And usually it takes me a few trips early in the season to kind of knock the rust off, to know what I'm kind of doing and feel more comfortable. But this day, on Tuesday, it was different. In fact, on my third cast, something took my bait. And man, I set the hook. And after a tough battle, I brought in this bass that's going to be up on the screen. And let me tell you something. This bass was huge. It's over 21 inches long, almost 7 pounds. It is the biggest bass I have ever caught in my entire life. Now, I'd love to take credit for this. I'd love to say, man, I'm just such a great fisherman, you know, or ascribe it to some newfound bait or a secret technique I learned. But really, you know, I threw a lure I always throw and fished it much like I do any other time. Just this time, I caught this beast. You see, that's one of the things that I love about fishing. You can go out with all kinds of skills and techniques and all the latest stuff and experience and catch nothing. Or sometimes you can go out without a clue and pull in the fish of a lifetime. In fact, that's what keeps most fishermen humble and appreciative when they're successful. Now, this theme of success and how we handle it is something that Paul breaks down for us this morning as we pick up in our journey through Romans. In fact, if you have your Bibles, we're right in the middle of Romans chapter 11, so you can turn there. But in this letter to the Romans, he's writing it to the churches of Rome that are made up of these new believers that are both Jewish in background and Gentile or non-Jewish. And in it, Paul breaks down the gospel, the good news of salvation and new life in Jesus by God's grace through faith. And in talking about God's promises to those who belong to him, Paul, in chapters 9 through 11, encourages his readers, which includes us as believers, that God is trustworthy to not only save us, but to fulfill his promises, or to fulfill what he's promised. Now, last week, in the beginning of chapter 11, Paul helped us understand our failures, or to look at our failures through God's eyes, by looking at God's faithfulness to his people Israel, despite all of their failures in picking up who the Messiah was and following him. You see, failure is not final. Now today, Paul helps us understand the other end of the spectrum, teaching us how we can be successful with success. So let's read. We'll start in verse 13 and read probably about 10 or 12 verses or so. So let's read. Paul says, "Now I am speaking to you Gentiles, inasmuch then, as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry in order somehow to make my fellow Jews jealous and thus save some of them. For if their rejection means the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance mean but life from the dead? If the dough offered as first fruits is holy, so is the lump. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. But if some of the branches were broken off and you, although a wild olive shoot, were grafted in among the others and now share in the nourishing root of the olive tree, do not be arrogant towards the branches. If you are, remember, it is not you who support the root, but the root supports you. Then you will say, branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in, and that is true. They were broken off because of their unbelief, but you stand fast through faith. So do not become proud, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, neither will he spare you. Note then the kindness and the severity of God, severity towards those who have fallen, but God's kindness to you, provided you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you too will be cut off. And even they, if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in. For God has the power to graft them in again. For if you were cut from what is by nature a wild olive tree and grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these, the natural branches, be grafted back into their own olive tree? And we'll stop right there. So here, Paul is addressing these Gentile believers. In the churches in Rome, the population of Gentile believers is growing more to where they outnumber the Jewish believers in these churches. And as Paul then was speaking, starting in chapter 9, about all these failures of the majority of the Jewish people, the majority of Israel, were missing God's blessings because they failed to recognize the Messiah. So he's talking about all these failures as God's people to grasp his blessings. And then he also speaks of how God now is reaching the Gentiles. It would be easy as a Gentile in these churches to start feeling a little superior themselves, saying, man, we're better than these Jews, which is much like the Jews had mistakenly done about the Gentiles, isn't it? And it might tempt them to look down on these unbelieving Jews. So Paul writes here, urging them not to let God's blessings or success go to their heads. Rather, to understand what his blessings and success were all about. So Paul begins addressing specifically the Gentiles. He starts right off, right? And he says, now I'm speaking to you Gentiles. So listen to me. This is now the message for you. And then he recounts his own call and his own ministry as a Jew to reach the Gentiles. And he says, he embraces it, or he says, I magnify this ministry, right? I magnify my call in the end of verse 13. However, when you look at this ministry, you would think maybe it could be a failure. Paul's saying, no, this isn't a failure, this ministry that I'm doing. It's actually a success. You see, some may think that. Some may think that, well, Paul, you're out reaching the Gentiles, but you're a Jew. Doesn't that mean you were a failure as a Jew? I mean, the fact that he was going outside God's chosen people, God's people, outside the Jewish people to do his ministry, you're turning your back on them. But it's not a failure, nor is it a response based on the hunger for the gospel that the Gentiles have or some kind of worth that the Gentiles had that was intrinsic about them. No, this call to reach the Gentiles was God-given. It was God-driven. You see, the Jews might look at Paul going to the Gentiles as him turning his back on them, saying, you're no longer a Jew, Paul. You might as well jump in the boat with them. And the Gentiles may look at Paul seeing them as more worthy and that Paul's capitulating. But that's not the case in either part. Paul going to the Gentiles is actually fulfilling God's purpose. He's doing just what God desires him to do. And thus, rather than being a failure, he's successful. And that's what Paul's saying here. Hey, I'm successful in what I'm doing. On the one hand, Paul's being a faithful Jew because God had promised. Remember when God gave the promise to Abraham and he said, you know, all nations of the earth will be blessed through you. Well, part of this blessing and part of the call to the Jews was to take this blessing of the Messiah and to share it with other nations. Right? That's what the Jews were to do. They were to bless all the nations around them instead of being shaped by them. And the Jews, by and large, had failed to do that. Well, here, Paul is doing that. Paul is doing what God had called the Jews to do. So he's being a faithful Jew. And that's why he's saying, so I'm going out and I'm reconciling the world, in verse 15 he says. On the other hand, in going out and blessing the Gentiles, Paul is also doing great service to the Jews because it will bring them in as they get jealous, as they say, man, we could have had this. We need to come back. So Paul is also being a good Jew in that sense. In verse 14, he talks about, you know, making them jealous to save some. So while both of these look like a failure on the surface, they're actually success in God's call. Paul is reaching his world. And at the end of verse 16, he's kind of using this analogy, the branches, right? He's reaching all these branches to help the tree be more fruitful and healthier. Or he's reaching these branches and bringing them to the root that is Christ for life. And it's on this root and branch analogy that Paul then begins to build on verse 17, right? He says, but if some of the branches were broken off and you, although a wild olive shoot, were grafted in, okay? So he's talking about farming, right? And this whole idea of grafting. Do you know what grafting is in farming, in horticulture and all of that? It's where you take, maybe a tree isn't as healthy as it could be, or a branch isn't as healthy as it can be. So you take this branch and you kind of tie it in to the trunk of a healthy tree, and then the roots start to feed that branch and make that branch healthy and alive, and it comes alive again. And so this is what this grafting that he's talking about. So he's saying, you know, Gentiles, and he's talking about olive trees, and he's saying to the Gentiles, you know what, Gentiles, you are these wild olive trees. And the Jews, they're these cultivated olive trees, or these farm-raised olive trees, you know, which are better. They yield more fruit, and they're actually healthier. But you're these wild ones. You don't have much going for you. But you've been grafted in to those blessings that God had for the Jews, and God had wanted for the Jews. Well, you've been grafted in to those things, right? And now this wild olive branch is going to share in the nourishment that the other branches of this cultivated olive tree, or the faithful Jews that he's talking about that are still branches there, because the other branches were cut off, and that's unbelieving Israel. But the Jews that believed in the Messiah, they're still on there, and now these Jews are grafted in, and now they're healthy and alive. So Paul is saying, when a Gentile is brought into a relationship with God through faith in Jesus, with God's people, or the Israel of faith, they then benefit from God just the same. Do you get that? They're successful. You see, it's not the branch that makes one grafted in, but the root that gives life. And that's what Paul says, right? He says it's the root. It's not the branch that the tree is dependent on. It's the root that brings it in, that gives life. While some branches, they were broken off, so no new branches could be grafted in, it was on the basis of faith that they were broken off, or lack of faith they were broken off. And the ones that were grafted in on the basis of faith. God is the one who spares the branches, and that is the basis of his grace, faith. Without faith, he says in verse 21, no one will be spared. So this grafting in and cutting off, they highlight the kindness and the severity of God in verse 22. Severity, or judgment of God, to those who've fallen in unbelief, right? The branches that have fallen. And kindness to the Gentiles and even the Jews who still believe. Paul is sure to note that, though, you know what, it's a basis of belief, but if you don't believe, then you're cut off too. So he's saying this is what the basis of it is. So it's nothing that you should boast in yourself about. He says, if anyone believes, even the once unbelieving Jews, God has the power to graft them in, and God alone. And if the Gentiles, they're this wild olive branch, and God grafts them in, giving new life, and grafts them into this new tree, how much easier would it be for one of these branches that were once cut off to be grafted back into the tree again? So he's saying, Gentiles, don't look down on these Jews, because it's going to be much better for them, because they already have a history with God and his people. So how much better it is for them to be grafted back in. But you see, it's all the same. There's no distinction, because it's by faith. So this is what Paul's saying in these verses. He's basically saying, Gentiles, just as you are experiencing God's blessings or his success, don't let it go to your head. It's only because of God, his grace through faith, that anyone, Jew or Gentile, can find real life in him. Did you catch that? This is what he's basically saying to sum up this passage. Gentiles, just because you're experiencing God's blessings or success in your life, don't let it go to your head, because it's only because of God's grace through faith that anyone can find real life in him. You see, success isn't about us, but God. So if we want to be successful with success, okay, if we want to handle success in our life well, not getting puffed up or prideful or feeling entitled, then we need to understand it. We need to understand success. In fact, this passage helps us better understand and respond to success that God gives, even for our lives today. You see, as Paul explains in this passage, success is a gift of God's grace that, first of all, is not always as it appears. Do you know that success isn't always what it appears? God gives success, and it may not be what others or even we ourselves deem as success. Yet from God is success. This is what Paul's getting at when he's describing his call, right? The unbelieving Jews saw him as a failure in turning his back on his own people. The Gentiles viewed him also as a failure, as a Jew who needed to come to them. However, his apparent failure in their eyes was exactly what God had for him, to reach the Gentiles, blessing them, so the Jews could be led back to God, blessing them. In fact, God's success through his grace, it often appears the opposite of what others deem as success. Do you know that? Oftentimes, God's success is a paradox. We see this when Jesus is talking about following him in Luke chapter 9. He says, "For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself?" You see that paradox? You see, sometimes we miss God's blessings because we focus on our own understanding of what success is. God often brings blessings that we tend to shrug off or we miss because we don't think they're a blessing at all. What do you mean? Well, maybe you're at a job and you're sitting there saying, "Man, with my education experience, I should be making a lot more money than I am. And I seem to keep getting passed over for promotions and everything like that. I'm an utter failure." But yet in that same job, God is giving you opportunities to share Jesus with your coworkers. He's giving you opportunities to pray with people. He's given you opportunities to connect with others who may never hear about Jesus and his salvation anywhere else but through you. Therefore, you at your job is a success as you follow that. We can even think of that in terms of here at Joy Community Fellowship. We're not a huge church. And sometimes we can look around and we can get discouraged by that. And we can say, you know what, we're being faithful to God and we're being faithful to his word. And yet, we're not a mega church. We're not knocking the doors out and growing into thousands of people. We must be doing something wrong. Have you ever felt like that? I know as a pastor, sometimes I can feel like that. And you can sit there and say, what have I done wrong to fail here? But we're not failing. You know why? Because we're reaching out to our community. We're sharing the good news of Jesus. We're being faithful in our praises of God. And we're seeing individual lives changed by God's grace. That's not a failure. That's a success. And that's exactly what God has for us. Sometimes we need to look at God's definition of success and what he means by success so that we can grasp that and say, yeah, God is good. You see, God not only gives success, but he also determines what it is. And you know, also from our passage, we learn something else. When it comes to success, it is from God, not ourselves. Success isn't something that we make. It's something that God gives. It's not something that we make happen or we're worthy of. And this is what Paul is talking about with his whole branches and grafting in analogy that he's making, right? The Gentiles are nothing in and of themselves. They're a gnarly, wild olive branch. That's all they are. You know, out in the woods, somebody might say, it's just a weed. Yet, when they're grafted in to this domestic or this cultivated olive healthy tree, they're made healthy and they're blessed. It's not the branch that blesses. It's not the branch that blesses, right? The tree, but the branch is blessed by the tree or by the root. It's made alive and successful because of this root, right? This is where it comes from. And Paul's saying this root is God and Jesus Christ, the source of all good things. This life and grafting in is not the basis of worth or works, but faith given by God's grace. So we don't get this because we work really hard. And we're, you know, I read my Bible every day. I'm at church 7 days a week. I do this, and we have a list, and I win Bible trivia, and I can do all these great things. You know why we're blessed? We're blessed because God, through his grace, blesses us. It's not because we worked hard for it, but because we're trusting him and we're clinging to him. And as we're clinging to him, we get to experience his work in our lives through his grace. Then God grafts us in by grace, and he keeps us by grace, doesn't he? And that's what Paul's basically saying. If we're grafted in by faith through God's grace, then we're kept that way, by faith through God's grace. And in this, we're no better or no worse than anyone else. It's only God who makes us, leads us, and blesses us. This is the faithfulness of God. God is going to make of us what he's going to make of us. And it's going to be the best for us. The only way we're going to be made anything is by sticking to him. Faith, right? Clinging to him through faith. We can be this beautiful branch, or we could be a gnarly one. But if we're outside of him, we're going to die being a beautiful branch or a gnarly branch. But in him, we're going to be grafted in. And we're going to be healthy. And we're going to be alive. This is what Paul's getting at in Ephesians chapter 2, where he says, for it's by grace we've been saved through faith, right? It's not of our own doing. It's a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one would boast, because we're his workmanship. We're given success and his blessings because we're created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That keeps us humble, doesn't it? To realize this is God's work as we cling to him. There's nothing we can do in our strength to make ourselves any more or any less than God makes us. So when we experience success, it's not us, but his plan, his way, and his strength in us and for us. It's in this work that God, this work of God, that all who come in faith are blessed. In fact, this success, this gift of God's grace, is a reason for praise, not pride. Right? This is what Paul's getting at in all of what he's been talking about. And he's saying, hey, I don't want you to be arrogant about this, right? Rather, I want you to praise God for his kindness. This is about his kindness. Instead of the Gentiles placing themselves over the Jews, the Gentiles can join with Paul in welcoming them home. Do you see the difference there? And this is what Paul's saying. Don't lord it over the Jews saying, wow, man, because of God's grace through faith, I'm somebody and ha ha. Rather, Paul's saying, no, understand God's kindness, and now you can have a role in welcoming others in to be grafted in. And they can enjoy the blessings and success God gives just as much as you are. Our success with God should lead us to want it for others, so they can experience God's grace rather than keeping it for ourselves. And it's only possible when we realize that our blessings and success only come from God and not ourselves. You see, when we think that we've made our success, even spiritual success, and we think we've earned it or we deserve it or we've done something to get it, then you know what happens? We tend to protect that, don't we? We tend to say, no, I got this, and I don't want anybody to take it from me, and I don't want anybody else to experience it because then I might have less. Have you ever been there? And sometimes we can think this, and this is what Paul's getting at. And he's saying, don't think like this, because that puts the focus on ourselves. But when we realize that all of our blessings with God are from him and because of him, then we boast in him to others so they can experience what we found in him. Paul in 1 Corinthians, in the first chapter of 1 Corinthians, he kind of lays it out like this, and he says, God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human might boast in the presence of God. He says, he is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, whom God made our wisdom and our righteousness and our sanctification and redemption. Therefore, it's written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. Do you get that? We're nothing without him. And so our boast can be in the Lord, who has made us and has blessed us, not on the basis of who we are, but on the basis of his grace as we cling to him through faith. This is what real success is all about. It's a gift of God's grace. That is exactly what God desires for us, so that we can confidently and joyously follow him. It's from him, not ourselves, so that we can cling to him in all situations, boasting and praising him as we share Jesus with others. You see, God gives us all we need to follow, to grow, and to share him with our world as we cling to him. You see, that's being successful with success. And next week, we're going to continue in Romans 11, probably finish it up. But real quick, before we pray, you can go to our Facebook page, and we've included some working it out questions that you can kind of put this into practice and kind of put it through your personal experience with God and to wrestle with this a little bit more. So you can go to our church Facebook page, and you'll see some working it out questions. But let's pray.